Happy Father's Day. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made.
Yes.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What do you think about that? Yes. That's awesome. It's my privilege to be bringing you the word this morning because I learned how to be a father in Living Way Church. The importance of a local church is huge, right? I got saved a little bit later in life, and so when the children started coming along, I would have this little baby in my arms, and then I would have another one, and I have another one. I'm the father of four daughters. I have four grandchildren now. But there was a time before I was saved, I would look at those baby, I would have a baby in my arms, right? And I go, what do I do now? I know all the other fathers in here probably had it all figured out. I did not, right? And I was humble enough to admit that I didn't know what being a father was all about. So the title of this sermon this morning is A Father Shows the Way Because I Now Know How. Because the Father in heaven showed me the way. But he used Living Way Church and the leaders here through their ministry, their teaching, and their preaching to administer the word to us and to me so that I could learn how to be a father. And so I just wanted to shout out to the leadership. Thank you, Pastor Doug and Val, for starting this church almost 49 years ago. Amazing. I know I have benefited greatly from it, and you passed it along to Pastor Daniel and Athena. Thank you very much for the leadership. And now we have Matt Simla as part of our elder leadership. I am so grateful. This is probably a sermon of gratefulness and thankfulness. Because when you don't know something, you don't know something, and you're not at peace, right? And so I wanted to thank those people. And Amanda, thank you for keeping me straight. She's the one that put the PowerPoints together, and she emails me back and forth, Joe, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, well, I don't know. I guess I'm a little nervous, I suppose. But thank you, Amanda, for keeping me straight. And I've apologized about 15 times this week for things. But thank you. She's a great administrator, and we couldn't do church without you. So thank you very much. Really appreciate it. All right. So this is how I felt. All right. When the children started coming along, it's five frogs on a log. Okay. This is my illustration. You ready? Log. Five frogs, got it? Next to a stream. Sounds good, right? Four decided to jump. Here's the math question. How many frogs were left on the log? One? You know what? They were all on the log. You know why? They just decided. They didn't jump. All right? That was me, right? That was me as a father. I was on that log, and I was looking at this stream, right? I go, well, if I jump, I might get hurt, right? What if it's the wrong way? What if it's the right way? What if it's quicksand? You know, what if it's a snake or copperheads where I grew up in Virginia? There's lots of those around. So you freeze, right? You don't know what to do if you don't know, right? If you don't know. This is where the local church comes in, right, Pastor? To say, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be all upset and anxious. When you know the word of God, you just follow the path. And one of my favorite verses is this. This is what got my attention. John 14:6. This is an awesome verse. Listen to this. This is what started my journey to fatherhood. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see that? It's not my way. It's not the world's way. Jesus said, I am the way. And when you say, I am the way, that got my attention. Of course, I go to Pastor Doug. Is that really the way? Right? I was new, right? And so my journey started with this. I had all of these kids that didn't know how to be a father. So I was managing an information technology department way back in the shipyard days, and there was a person working for me, and he had something different about him. Every time he'd say something, it would make sense. And what my friend Jim was doing was he was teaching me the Word of God, and he was sent out He was a messenger sent out from Living Way Church, you know, to where I was down in 28th Street trying to build ships with technology. And here Jim shows up. Now, did he show up by accident? No. God sent him. He sent him to me to show me the way. And then over time, I received Christ as my Savior, and my eyes were just opened up. Things completely changed. It's hard to really even understand and explain that my eyes were open. I said, oh, tell me more. And then I went out to lunch with Jim every day for like 6 months, right? I just couldn't get enough. And then he invited me to Living Way Church. And then that's when I met Pastor Doug and Val for the first time. And then Pastor Doug came down to a sports restaurant in Mission Valley, if you remember. And I met him from 28th Street, and we had a two-hour lunch. I didn't have, you know, questions all written out, but I kind of did in my mind, you know. And Pastor Doug was able to gently and kindly answer all of my questions. And I said, whoa, I think there's hope. I think there's hope for me. And that's how my journey started at Living Way Church. And so we started coming every week. I wanted to know when the doors were open. I wanted to know when all the classes were. I wanted to know where all the preaching was doing, because I needed information and I needed help from God and I needed the wisdom of God through the Bible. And we have faithful teachers here, and we've done it for almost 49 years, just teaching and preaching and pouring into people so that they're not wandering around, because Jesus said, I am the way. And he is the truth. And then what springs from that, he says, I am the life. Good life, good prosperity happens from that. It's the greatest verse, and then that's when I started my journey. So what is the purpose of a father? I found the purpose through listening to a sermon. How about that? Okay, I found out that the father is to provide and protect and guide. Provide wisdom, protect from evil, and guide to the truth. I wanted to invest something of truth that would last forever, and I found it in the Word of God and the faithful teaching here at Living Way Church. It starts with God. It was so encouraging. Then the next verse I found out about fatherhood was extremely encouraging. Listen to this, Isaiah 41:10. I use it often. I have memorized this. Do not fear, says the Lord. I am with you. Do you hear that? I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Here's some promises right here. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you, and surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He strengthens by providing, he helps by protecting, and he upholds by guiding us. Wow. What is there to fear? The Word of God. The more the Word of God I studied and knew, it replaced the fear. Right? What is there to fear when I have a God who says, I am with you? That's awesome. So then, the next thing I learned about fatherhood was that the goal of a father, in Ephesians 6:4, this is amazing and terrifying at the same time, because the Lord's saying, I'm giving you some responsibility, right? And I said, okay, listen to Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, hear that? Fathers starts out with the word fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. Here it is. Wait for it. I know that's a very common term these days. Wait for it. Listen to this. But bring them up. Fathers, bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, I took it seriously. Lord, you're giving me, my father, the responsibility of bringing up these children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Well, I found out I couldn't do it alone. That's for sure. And that's where the church comes in. That's where our family comes in. That's when my wife looked at me and said, ooh, The Lord gave you that responsibility. Now you're gonna need a lot of help. And she gave me lots and lots of help. So then it went on to, what do I teach my children? When before I was saved, and even shortly thereafter, I would meet other parents, and they would tell me this. I have four daughters. They would say, oh, no. You have four daughters? Well, what is that? That was very encouraging, don't you think? I said, there has got to be a better response to this. And then I go running off to Pastor Doug's office. This is what they said. I'm offended. And so I said, oh, no, four daughters. No, what they should have said is the greatest revelation that the scriptures have for us in raising children. It's not, oh, no, you have four daughters. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Listen to this. All scriptures God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration of obedience, to training in righteousness, and that is learning to live in the conformity of God's will, both to publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wouldn't it have been better to tell me and said, oh, no, you have four daughters? Wouldn't it have been better to say, oh, God has a plan for them. You're going to raise them up, and you're going to equip them with the word of God and be sent out to touch the world. Now, wouldn't that have been a better response?
Yes.
I knew where they were coming from, but I was learning the word of God. Right? And the word of God trumps everything. So this I found out how to teach. And so what I want to do now is, out of all my journey of being a father, there were six principles that I learned that I hope will encourage you, build you up, and strengthen you, so that maybe you might have missed something along the way with your kids. And as the grandkids come along, remember these six principles. They're not hard, but I learned them here at Living Way Church by the teachers here, and it's very, very encouraging. The first principle, tell your kids, I love you. You know, I love you. You might not know what love is. I didn't really know what it was. I'm going to tell you here in a moment. But every single day that my kids, once I learned this principle, I told my kids, every single day, I love you. And so teach your kids that as well. So listen to John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for another, just as I have loved you. No one is greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his own life for his friends. Wow, so now I'm beginning to understand what love really is. It's an unselfishly seeking the best for another person, no matter what their situation is. They may be mad at you, maybe not talking, but you still love them, you still hold them up in front of the Lord, and you still ask that the Lord touches their heart and opens their heart. But love unselfishly seeks the best for another. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, right? I love you. I love you. So someone is finally telling me what love is, and that's through the scriptures. I've learned this through Living Way Church. You know, but there is more to this definition I found out. Of course, there's always more. Once you learn one thing, it's funny how the Lord works. I might teach you something else to give you some deeper understanding. And listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking and is not provoked or overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth. When right and truth prevail, Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Wow. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one, and hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, and endures all things without weakening. Wow. So what I learned from this verse is love is patient. You know where patience comes from? The Lord. He gives it to you. When you're born again, it's amazing what God had to do. He sacrificed his son on the cross, died for our sins so that we wouldn't suffer punishment for those sins. So when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, those sins are forgiven. Isn't that amazing? This is a cool system. I want to find out more about this. And then Jesus rose from the dead and triumphed and said, no, I'm alive. I'm alive. And those who believe in me will have everlasting life. And so what I found out is when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, when I said I opened up my eyes, what really was that is that the Holy Spirit came within me, right? And so now I have direct communication with God. And the gates of heaven were opened, and Jesus Christ provided that way to go. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm on my knees. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Guess where he was going before? Jesus was headed to the cross and save for us and give his life for us. And that's amazing. He's steadfast. All these people that he ran across to going to the cross that abused him and beat him and things like that before the cross, he knew the big picture, and that was eternal life. And he wants everybody with him in heaven. And that's what Jesus did for us. So this love bears all things. That's certainly Jesus. And I wanted to be a father like that. The good times and the bad times, I'm there. You know, no matter what was going on. So tell your kids I love you. The second principle is tell your kids you're very special. I love you. You're very special. The world doesn't teach you that, right? But the gospel does. Why is that? Heard that from another sermon? Look at Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Whoa, let that sink in. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. The Lord knows you already. He approved of you as my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Certainly he was talking to Jeremiah about this, but this is a principle that's applied to everyone. The Lord knew you before you were even in the womb. Think about that. That's how much he knows you and loves you and wants the best for you. I wanted my kids to know that they were very special. When you have four kids, there's a lot of activity in the house, right? And so every Saturday morning, I would start with my oldest, and it started 7 in the morning, so I would take them to the grocery store, and I would have them pick out a piece of candy. And that was pretty fun. And then we'd go out to the parking lot, find a shade tree, and then we would just talk. I would have a verse ready, and we talked about the verse, and then I would talk, hey, how you doing? You know, you want to talk about anything? And then after that one, then the second daughter, Saturday morning, right? Took him to the grocery store, pick out a piece of candy, all right? And then we had a verse and we talked. What was I doing? You're very special, right? Then I took my third daughter and I brought him to the grocery store, picked out a piece of candy. We talked about the scriptures. Anything else? What's on your mind? Anything going on at school that I should know about? Anything I can help you with? And then the fourth one, right? This is probably about 11 o'clock in the morning by now, but the fourth one, you know, picked out a piece of candy, talked about the scriptures, right? And then anything I can do for you. You know, I love you. You're very special to me. And so I wanted to mimic what Jeremiah was saying here. I knew you, and I wanted them to know how special they were. So Jesus said, I am the way. This is his way. I love you, and you're very special. And so fathers, tell your kids I love you. Tell them they're very special. And the next thing I learned, principle number 3, you are a child of God. This is who you are. You weren't made from an amoeba or a gorilla or something like that. I certainly was exposed to that when I was in public school. It didn't make any sense to me. You did not evolve from anything. You are a child of God. Yeah. Listen to this, John 1:12. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That's where I get it from, right there in the scriptures. That is, to those who believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on his name, that's Jesus, who were born not of blood, that is natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, that is physical impulse, nor of the will of man, that of a natural father, but you are born of God. That is a divine supernatural birth. They are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. When you believe in Jesus, you are transformed.
Yes.
You're a new creation. That's because the Lord is with you and within you and guiding you. You now have direct communication with God himself. You are a child of God. So fathers, just tell your kids I love you. You're very special. You're a child of God. And also tell them this, principle number 4. Believe God for big things. If God has a plan for you, it's probably going to be pretty big. So listen to this. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and the hope. You know that God has a plan for every single one of you?
Yes.
Before he knew you, before you're in the womb? That's just an amazing thing. God has plans for you. Many years ago at Living Way Church, Pastor Doug was praying over me. He had some other prophets of his that were praying over me. And he said, you're going to be leading men. And I went, are you kidding? I don't know anything. I can't lead air out of a bag, you know. What's going on here? And so, but I cherish that.
Plans for you.
I cherish that. And then many, many years later, this is when Pastor Daniel took over the church. Guess what Pastor Daniel did? He put me in charge of the men's group. 15 years, right? 15 years goes by. I guess the Lord thought, okay, I guess he's ready. That's amazing where a promise started with one generation and is fulfilled in another generation. That's just mind-boggling to me. Why? Because the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, and each one of you, the Lord has a plan for you. This is Jesus' way. I am the way, said Jesus. Boy, I'm glad I know the way now. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. So fathers, tell your kids I love you. You're very special. You're a child of God. Believe God for big things. And tell them this, you are a winner. You're a winner. You're an overcomer might be another verb for this. And here's the principle. I know this, to be a winner, you got to go through trouble. That's just the way the world is, right? And you got to be good at handling trouble. Might have said this before, but I know for me, I'm either in trouble, just getting out of trouble, or just about ready to get in trouble again, okay? So as an IT project manager, I am always in trouble, just getting out of trouble, about ready to get in trouble. So there's a whole philosophy behind how to handle all of this stuff. But you know, none of it made any sense until I read the Bible. And the Bible just went, whoa, there's a purpose for all of this. There's a purpose for all these trials and all these tests that I've been going through. I know that I was running a project earlier this year, and I've been through so many projects. I've seen quite a bit, and I know things can get solved, but I had some new people, and they were getting discouraged. And there was a radiology department that they were moving all this data from one place to another. And it was pretty complicated. And so people were getting discouraged. But I wasn't, you know. Why? I've been through trouble a lot. I've dealt with trouble. And I've had success with trouble, right? And what did that do? It built up my faith. I knew it was going to be okay. So what did I do to the team? It's going to be okay. We're going to do step 1, 2, 3, and 4. Got it? All of a sudden, they're back, right? You know, that's leading, and that's what Jesus wants us to do. Let's look at James about trouble. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. Consider it nothing but joy, but my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into trials, this is the trouble of the world, whenever you fall into trials, be assured, pretty cool, be assured that the testing of your faith through this experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace, and let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to you. Wow, there's a purpose for all this trouble? Yes. It's for your endurance and spiritual maturity. Pretty different from what I hear from the world, right? There is a purpose for all of this. Jesus wants you to be able to handle problems, and problems his way, because Jesus is the way. And if you have trouble, you don't know, ask for wisdom. I think it's probably every technology project that I ever manage. There's always a situation where nobody knows the answer. Okay, and I get on my knees at home or before a meeting, and I said, oh, Lord, you are the God of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Give us the wisdom that we need to solve this problem. And the reason in healthcare is because there's probably a patient's going to be affected if we don't have the right answer. And I'm telling you, I was praying with David Radford, my friend, and Mark. We were in the men's meeting. I said, this is coming up. This is a problem. And they gathered around and they prayed for me. And the wisdom came the next day. It was just absolutely mind-boggling. We had the answer. That's the way Jesus works, right? Hand in hand. It's not just a checklist over on the side somewhere. Jesus is with you, right? He's with us. He's with, and he wants to be our friend. And if you need wisdom, ask for it. He's there for you. All right, there's two more verses to go along with this. And this is what I finally learned from all this trouble. Be in the Word all the time. Study, study, study. That's why I can't wait until the doors of the church are opened for the next class. Listen to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. Why? For then you will make yourself your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. Oh, yes. What he's talking about is that when you're in trouble, ask God for wisdom. Go to the book. Go to your friends, your pastors and friends at church. They will come up with a verse that would be appropriate for that particular situation. And we depend on the Word of God and His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth and to help us in all situations. And that builds our faith. Listen to Romans 8:37. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Why? Why are we a winner? Why are we getting through this trouble? It's building our faith. It's building our faith. I can look around this room because I know a lot of your background, and I could go to a particular situation. You could tell me 300 different ways to solve a problem. Why? Because you were through that problem 300 times. And so you have all these options. And so we get to know the Word of God. We get to be comfortable with it. We pull out verses. We get on our knees before the Lord, and we ask for help. Okay. And the sixth principle I would like to tell you about, what I learned here at Living Way Church. And remember, fathers, tell your kids I love you. And you're very special, and you're a child of God. Believe God for big things. You're a winner. And the final principle is prayer. Teach your kids to pray. When I was raising my kids, I would take the oldest one, put him in a rocking chair, and we would read the Word of God every single night. one-on-one. And then we would pray together. We would sing hymns. We had a hymnal that we had in this book, and I still have it. And I would pull out those hymns, and I would sing to each one of them individually every single night. What was I teaching them to do? Pray. You know, worship is prayer, you know, and the Word of God is prayer, and singing is prayer, and we're just honoring and praising God and thanking Him for all the blessings that He has given us. And so, yeah, it took a while to get the kids to bed. You know, you take one and pray with them and take the next one and the next one. What was I telling them? Not only prayer, but they're special. They're special. Dad has got one-on-one time with them. So let's read Philippians 4 about prayer. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight and take pleasure in Him. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your gracious unselfishness, mercy, and tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And you know what happens when you make your request known to God? The peace of God, that peace that reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds, in Christ Jesus is yours. That's what prayer does. It brings you peace. Oh, yes. Now I'm prayer 724, even when I'm in a meeting. Oh, Lord, Lord, you know, I want that peace. I want that peace. And so how do you trap that peace? In summary, T-R-A-P, T stands for thanksgiving, be thankful. R stands for rejoice in the Lord. Just rejoice in Him in your prayers. Be anxious for nothing, because the Word of God chases anxiousness away. And ask for Him. Ask of Him anything, and the peace of the Lord will come upon you. Teach your kids to pray. And finally, I know guys like checklists, and I couldn't resist this one. How do you teach your kids? What are the steps? So here you go. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just couldn't resist. I learned it from Jesus in the Scriptures. How do you teach your children? Okay, here it is. Here's how you instruct them. Matthew 5:1, Jesus went up to the mountainside with His disciples and sat down to teach them. That's what I was doing every single night in the rocking chair. What was I doing? I was instructing them. The next is demonstrate to them. John 13:15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." What was I doing? I was teaching them to pray, but I was doing it. And then they began to pray. And so they know how to pray. And the next step that Jesus did, give them the experience. Mark 6:7, and He called the 12 to Himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Fathers, give your kids a chance to experience prayer. And then the last piece, you can assess it. Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The disciples got the wrong idea about what was happening, and Jesus had to make some corrections. And then what did He do? He instructed them. He demonstrated to them again, gave them the experience, and assessed what they were doing. And that's how you teach your kids. I hope this was helpful to you. I'm so appreciative of Living Way Church and all the teachers that have come through here. Fathers, teach your kids these principles. I'd like the worship team to come up. And when the worship team is coming up, I'd like to pray for the fathers. You have a big job, but you have lots of help. And we have knowledge and wisdom of understanding that comes from the Bible, from our Lord Jesus, from the Holy Spirit guiding us. And so I would like the fathers and grandfathers to stand up. And I would like to pray for you. Fathers, grandfathers, stand up. You have a big job. I admire every single one of you for the job that you've done in raising your kids. And I want to pray over you right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of fatherhood and the responsibility that you have given us to raise them up in the way they should go. Please empower these men, these fathers, to pursue you with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love you and to love others and to disciple them with these principles that we've reviewed today. I'd like to pray over these men right now. Men, do not fear. The Lord says, I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you, and surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God bless you, men, in Jesus' name. Amen.